Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Man, Connor, let me tell you, we have got a big show today. Big show. Huge show.
Well, I'm not going to be on it, Joe.
What? Why? Why are you going to be on it?
No, I won't be. I'm not booked, for one thing.
Oh, I want you to.
And what really bothers me is Jeremy Lambert. I have nothing against the man he's podcasting with, but I swear to you, I guarantee you that nobody can have a better podcast with Joe Hulbert more than I would have. So that part hurts. I really wanted to be on as a producer, but the people who make that decision, whoever that might be, didn't offer any position. So I'm not booked. I won't be there.
I want you to be there.
I'm not booked. I'm not going to be here, Joe, because I'm not booked. That's an old rule I've had for a long time. Involved. I already had other arrangements. And don't take it personally, because I used to be the guy in the StreamYard. And I used to see the old guys, the Alex Pawlowskis. And that's where I am now. I used to see the old guys that came out of the podcast. And they come around. They looked like old dogs. Just hoping somebody would recognize them. Here, Spot.
I want you to be there, Colin.
I really have to be involved. And I'm not. I did ask you in April if I could produce some podcasts. But I'm not on the show.
You can be on next week. Colin, you can be on next week.
I'm next week?
You can be on next week.
All right, cool.
I want you to be here next week, Connor.
I'm in.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
And I said, psychosis!
This one's for all pals. And O'Neill. Such a feed from the jaws of victory. With the pop gun and the Chunny Cheese. Distraction. Hey! Podcast. Pure filth. Wins and losses. Don't need shit. So what's Joseph Grinch as it do his bit? Distraction.
Roll up.
One, two,
three.
Hello.
There we go.
Welcome, everyone, to the distraction.
I was dying.
I couldn't help myself. Once I got in my Terry, Connor, I didn't mean to throw you off, but I was feeling it, man.
No, you were good. You were good. I couldn't bring out the Southern because I don't really have it.
That's fine.
I did best I could.
It's just that soft tone that Terry has there. By the way, folks, if you don't know, Beyond the Mat, iconic scene, Dennis Stamp, bless his heart, he's not booked, he's not involved, he's trying his best. And Terry wants him to be there. He says it to me, I want you to be there, I want you there. So that was, it was Connor who had the process of the gift that got me to do that. So, Connor, apparently we're going to talk about wrestling day. That's what we do on here. But I want you to plug your stuff because that was an all-time. That was tremendous. Go ahead, pal.
Okay. Well, if you all know me, you know I'm over at comicbook.com. I cover the WWE page, but we cover any kind of nerd culture, geek news you can think of. They're all over the Scarlett Johansson Disney lawsuit right now. As for myself, you know, WWE, AEW, NXT, I know it's banned here, but we still got to cover it. And we cover AEW. We're getting more interviews. We're lining up stuff with Impact next week. I'm talking to the cast at Heels next week, Stephen Amell's new show. And you can follow me over on Twitter at ConnorKCCB. Got that blue check mark. So wrestlers are starting to pay attention when I favorite their tweets. And you'll see me on Mondays chirping about Raw and on Wednesdays glorifying Dynamite. So
We will also see you next Thursday, right? Whether it's on this show, the post show, in some form or fashion, he will be the next week. Booked.
That part is legit. It can't be this week because there's some conference call that Jeremy and I need to go listen in on.
Oh, so. God. Yeah. Don't remind me. Sorry.
Good luck, guys. Right. Support Connor, great pal of the show. Thanks for coming on, pal. We'll see you soon.
Connor with the best hair, better than John Alba.
Don't let him hear you say that. He will.
I'm going to feature both of you guys in Chicago, and then I'm just going to snatch the wig off of John Alba as well after I do it.
That is a well-attached wig. Good luck with that.
Thank you, Connor. We appreciate it, buddy.
That was fabulous. Every time I hit her, I want you to. I just saw Connor just like he was strengthening himself.
I was cackling every time you did it. Like your tone, your tone.
He really does that, right? Like I know.
Oh, I gave you the Bob O'Neill graphic there. I'm sorry, Joseph.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's what I do.
Wow. Oh man, let's get to some super chats right off the bat here. Buddy Frank says, I'm out with friends. Catch the video on demand. Out with friends. Still lose a super chat. That's how you do it, folks. Have a great one. Congrats on 69 Patreon subs. Random 2.5 hour streams with Joseph are great. I log onto the Patreon and I just see you've done like a 3 hour stream. You've got Will from RBR Wrestling. You got SP3. You're just bringing these people on just to do these streams on the Patreon. Patreon.com/TheDistraction if you want to support everybody.
It's good because it feels like I'm giving the people bang for their buck, but we're doing it in real time. You know, like when we get stuff in the can and put it up, it feels like we're not giving them enough. Whereas when we're doing it live, I see the people there. It's good, man. The patrons, I mean, it's actually turning into something fun for our audience, you know? And I want to stress again, we're never going to do tiers or any of that stuff. It's a buck to enter. You can pay as much as you want, but it's a buck to enter and then you're in the game. So it's fun. It's a good way to support us, right? It's a direct way to support us.
Yes. Yeah. It's a dollar and... As you just heard, Joseph did about 5 hours of streaming in the past 2 days. So you get that from 2 days, whatever else we do all month, and it's a dollar a month. You can pay more. Please pay more. Joseph has a Coke habit. I have kids. We need your money.
Yes.
JJ says, hello to my favorite big stars. Hope the day as well. I don't have like a kid to like grab, shove him on the screen here. Be like, here, help this young man, feed him. All of my favorite big stars of the day as well. AEW Nitro is very exciting. Pump for the juices return. Thank you for all you do. Love you both. Hope you're well, JJ. Thank you, buddy. We love you as well.
Mm-hmm. Always, pal. This is the great JJ, TNA fan. We even accept him as a TNA fan.
And James Edward Smith said Don Callis looked ready to join Booty Pro. Can we talk about this? Of that, they're just stealing all of our bits, right? Like,
honestly, yes. But the Don Callis part was better than anything we ever came up with. Them shorts, brother, they were.
We would have ride that booty was, in those shorts. 100%.
He wouldn't have wore them. He would we not would've. Have wore those.
We would have forced them on, man.
Listen, man, that was a ride, right? That first 10 minutes of the show, that was just like entrances. It was very un-AEW. It was a real spectacle. And I mean, as a compliment, it was awesome.
Van Twin Blades at Don Callis, more like Don Cialis. Am I right, boys?
I'll leave that on to you, Pedro.
Oh, man. All right. Is that what we're going to talk about? We're going to get into Dynamite. Let's talk about the basketball. It's draft day, like actual basketball. It's the draft, Joseph. Excited? Ben Simmons getting traded today?
Basketball is banned.
What?
Banned from the show.
Are we escorting basketball out the door?
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, okay. I'll talk about it at the end of the show.
Okay.
Because I actually have a point to say. But no, look, draft day is exciting for you. It's miserable for me. I hate basketball. Let's talk about the basketball tribute match on Dynamite. Let's do that.
I like Omega. He did the Jordan tweet as well. And I wrote an article on it just because why wouldn't I? Like that's right up my alley. Right. Everyone seems like, oh, well, okay. What's Omega doing at All Out now? Hangman. Cause it seems like Hangman and Omega is just completely off now. This ain't the end of the story, right? Like we've talked about it. They had to delay this cause you couldn't just do, oh, Hangman wins this match. This pay-per-view is not for another month. So you've got to, and they're adding a B show in the middle of this. You got to add some stuff into this before you can get to that Hangman Omega match. You needed to knock Hangman down once more, and then he builds back up to get to this match. I still think this is the All Out match. Am I crazy? Because it seems like based on the reaction last night, I'm crazy that this is going to be – that this is still in for All Out.
I think – listen, we put ourselves over enough on this show, but I think we should actually legitimately pat ourselves on the back. I don't think anyone else quite grasped that this is still like with the B-shot and 9 TVs away. You know? Like, and here's the biggest thing that I think people are missing. They never said the number one contender for All Out. They just said the number one contender.
Right.
Kenny was going to defend the belt at some point within this 2 months between the last – like, I just think they're going to do a Christian match on TV, and I think they're going to work over to Hangman. Now, here's the thing. I think the big thing for the Hangman story is, like, I think it's firstly, like, the Dark Order keeping him upright after losing. Mm-hmm. I also think they're going to play with the booze stuff a little bit. I think he's going to kick that before he really wins that belt, you know? I know we all laugh at the drinking, but, like, if you think about what it's meant for his story, I think you're going to get some sort of segment at the bar where the Dark Order, like, you don't actually need that shit, man. You're good. We're going to go and get this. You're going to climb them rankings one by one. And I think that's... I never liked the idea of pinning Kenny here.
Yeah.
We talked about this. I never did. Like, yeah. He's the mountaintop. So the only option you had was DQing him. And I think Tony thought that was like a cheap out. Did you notice, by the way, they teased him using the belt? Because a lot of people predicted he'd get DQed. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And they used their count out on the two guys that none of us cared about not getting beat. Like, they didn't want to screw you out of that. So... to me, this was just like, you know, we fantasy booked about how Hangman could lose his first title match. This was just that to me. He can't beat Kenny yet. Like, he's still got some way to go. And I still think it's All Out. I agree with you, but I'm also open-minded, dude. Like, I'm going to be honest, I trust the process with this thing. It's been a really impactful, enduring arc. I trust they've got this thing figured out. Now, there obviously is a lot of moving pieces. So I saw Chris Bordine in the chat talks about me being his wrestling therapist. And it's true. I get why people are concerned because... you know, look, let's be real. There's some megastars coming in. And, like, that makes people worry that Hangman's going to fall to the side. Guys, listen, man. I think after that entrance, they know what they've got in this guy. This is their guy, man. I think he's going to get it. I really do. We'll see, though.
I think other stories can be moved around with Punk and Brian coming in. This one, they've invested so much in. I think this one, they just continue down the path that they've gone on, and then they integrate, because we kind of saw the teases with Darby and Punk, like that could be a possibility. Brian, he might not come in until after All Out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think they continue down this. I'm with you. We kind of fantasy booked this match, and we both agreed, like, beating Omega, if you're gonna do it, you've gotta be smart about it. And but we both agreed, like, just probably don't do it. And so that means Hangman losing or doing some type of cheap DQ. And we didn't think they were going to do the DQ because they just don't do that. I thought they played it smart. It came down to 3-on-1. He beat one of the Young Bucks. I like that he didn't beat them both because they are still the tag team champions, right? Like, you don't want to beat both of your tag team champions in a 3-on-1 scenario. So he beat one of them, you know, hit the double buckshot. The other rolled out. Then Kenny had to cheat to beat him. Knock Hangman down a peg. He's still number one in the rankings. I don't know how this affects this. We think that Omega is going to defend the title. I still think it's Christian at the first Rampage show. I think that's what it's going to be. And then after that, you're looking at about 2-3 weeks until All Out. Like, this Hangman story ain't going away. I still think this is the match. And I don't think last night has any... I think it's part of the story. I think this is the story that they've set out, and they're letting it play out perfectly.
I think also you touched on something with them being the champs there. Like, the Dark Order are a formidable act in AEW, but it has to be said that in terms of how everyone's framed within the show, Kenny's team, the Super Elite, was the favorites all along here, right? Yeah. Like, they're the Impact Tag Champs, the AEW Tag Champs, and the AEW World Champ, who is framed as the greatest wrestler ever. Like, but you're serious. I mean, the Dark Order are this collection of guys, almost misfits, that have, like, gathered around this guy that needed help, right? Like, they're like his support system. And they fought valiantly. They just couldn't beat him. So I don't know. I think it made sense, honestly, I do. I wasn't shocked. You and I seem to be outliers because everyone else seemed to be like, I'm turning the TV off, I'm devastated. And I get why. If you're devastated as a fan, I get, but, like, shocked by the decision, I don't know. I thought, kind of saw it coming.
It's not only, like, I get why people are devastated, and I even get why people are, like, kind of shocked because they just thought, oh, well, this is going to be Hangman wins, gets his title shot and everything. I just don't – it's weird to me that people can't see all the way to All Out and how they have so many more weeks to build.
Because it's a good Hangman, thing, though.
What's that?
it's a good thing, Jeremy, because it means they're actually truly immersed.
Yeah.
You know, like we talk about this stuff enough that we're like looking, we're trying to look big picture every week. But like, I think a lot of the emotional reaction is like actually within the story, which is really good because it means that when he gets Kenny, because I think he's going to get him like you do, I mean, you know, you'll make the reaction better. And so I think it's a good thing. Overall. Carry on with your point. Sorry.
I think it's a good thing. I think like you kind of just, you got to trust them on this. They've done very well with this story and don't give up on it just because Hangman lost this match. I was just kind of stunned to see like, okay, well, where does Hangman go? Who's Omega facing at All Out now? Cause it's clearly not Hangman. And I'm just like, I still think it is Hangman. Like if they want to bring in Okada, then sure. But I don't think that's
I don't
thing.
Like that. I have to,
I saw Jay Wyatt.
I think they're both wonderful, but like, I don't like that, man. You've got so many guys on your roster. Like, don't do that. You know?
I mean, that's my take. Especially if you're bringing in, which the report is that Moxley's going to face potentially Tanahashi or Suzuki. And I mean, Moxley cut the promo on Tanahashi last night. Tanahashi was on the video screen last night. Like, man, you're giving me a Tanahashi Moxley match in Chicago. Give a shit what else happens on that card.
I'll say this. There's one. I do think there's a chance that with Rampage happening on like the 20th, I think there's a chance they've pivoted and it's Punk. I'll say that. I'll be honest with you, okay? I mean, there's a chance, a slim chance, that Punk, they've accelerated things with this United Center show, pushed things forward a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. And I think there's a chance that maybe, just maybe, Jeremy, it's at that Rampage where Kenny faces Christian and afterwards Punk challenges Kenny. Would I like that? Not necessarily. I'll be honest with you. But I think there's a chance that there's enough moving pieces that's where they've gone, basically. Does that make sense? Like, I don't expect it. I just think it's a possible reason why things could have changed. Because you and I don't think they've changed. We think this was the plan all along.
Yeah.
If they have changed, I sense that will be the reason. It'll be because Punk is coming in to work Kenny, which would be weird, I think. But we'll see.
Well, I said it last week that, you know, everyone's like, oh, Punk is definitely going to show up at All Out. And, I mean, it seems like he is going to show up at All Out. Yeah. But I thought, like, what if that isn't his first appearance? What if that's his first match? And now it kind of seems like that will be his first match. I don't think it's Kenny, though. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's his first match. I don't think Punk just comes in, immediately goes title picture right away. Obviously, you can do it. And if you're going to bring him in at the United Center, he's going to get the big reaction, especially if he steps up to Omega. But like, you just put Punk. I don't think you want Punk's first match in 7 years being this main event match against Kenny Omega. I'm not saying it'll be bad. I think Kenny Omega can have a great match with anybody.
Yes.
I don't know if you want that to be, I don't know if you want that to be his first match. I think, because you've already sold out All Out, right? Or it's at least closed. I'm pretty sure it's sold out. So you've already got it sold out. You've invested in this Omega Hangman story, pay it off. You can just put Punk on the card and he's going to get the reaction you need him to be. Like, it's almost like a McGregor fight, right? Like, McGregor can be the co-main event. He doesn't have to be the main event. And then you can put bigger stars, or not bigger stars, but you can put like another title fight as the main event. They're going to sell based on just bringing in McGregor. Punk is McGregor in this case. Come in. He doesn't need to be the main event. You just have a good little match. And then you can continue to tell your story with your actual main event match.
The one thing I would say with Punk, I'm looking at the chat here and everyone says about the Darby Allin match. And I think that is a very logical conclusion to draw from last night's show. I agree with that. And I think he's a very smart first opponent because he's a bumping machine that can wrestle at that pace and let Punk kind of take it easy. Don't be surprised if over the next 2-3 Dynamites, however many it is, other guys cut promos where they allude to Punk. Don't be surprised if you get a pack saying pipe bomb or a, you know, a Kingston saying. It could just be that is what all I would say, but we'll see.
So here's my, I'm going to catch up on some super chats right fast, but I do want to continue kind of bringing Punk in. Chris says, thank you, Joe, for being my wrestling therapist. Rob Reed says, we saw Nick Gage wrestle Zack Ryder and Chris Jericho within 5 days of each other in 2021. If I told you this happened back in 2016, I'd be sent to a funny farm. Probably king of this fucking shit, Nick Gage. Brenton says Omega all this is a dream match. All somebody ban Brenton.
He's a good brother. Let him roll. He's enjoying himself.
No, he's banned. Somebody ban him. Doug says at All Out, will Paige kick out of the One Winged Angel? I don't think so. Really? You think he's just gonna kick out? I think he kind of fights out of it. I don't think he kicks out of it.
pin last night, knowing like he's the one that gets it, you know? Fair. That'd be such a pot, dude. Imagine the reactions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Wow. That'd be a huge, huge reaction. Yeah, Ricardo says MJF quoting the pipe bomb was hella lit. Let's go. But Ryan says, just wanted to spend money on YouTube, put you over. Put over Distraction Choice, the best Patreon. Great pre-stream with SP3. You guys are dynamite. We got a stream after the show, Joseph and O'Neill, since we're not doing the Twitch stream, because I got to listen to Nick Khan. JJ Lee says AEW typically sets the match and they build it to it for 3 or 4 weeks. I think that's why it was shocking Hangman loss. When will we know the main event? Like, that show's already
they're inconsistent. The thing also is so like I think it's a good point, but Double or Nothing they announced like Orange and Pac just sort of like emerged.
Yeah.
In fairness, they have been doing the build. The match just isn't a graphic and confirmed yet, right? It's like they could confirm it. Two TVs before the pay-per-view. The story's there. I think there's a lot of time playing. Now, here's the thing, guys. If we're wrong on this and it's Christian and you're underwhelmed, I think you're right to be underwhelmed. Mm. This is not us sitting here and being like, let it play out. We just, right or wrong, think this was the plan, I think. Like, we both watched it and was like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. We'll see what they do for the next, 5 weeks. So it'll be interesting, definitely.
James Edward Smith says, Sean hurt my feelings, saying he's cold on the blade. Is he going to hate on Serpentico next? Sean's an idiot. Don't listen to him.
No comment. But I will say, that definitely felt like a case of Christian watching the blade work and being like, holy shit, this guy's kind of good. Tony, let's figure something out with the blade.
So you mentioned that you think a lot of people are going to do kind of Punk references over the next couple weeks. And I agree with you. Like Darby did it, MJF did it. Even Nick Jackson, he did the little spot in the corner, which typically he does he did the knee into the bulldog, which Punk always does. And Nick like kind of does a variation on that. He does like a knee and like super kick bulldog, but like he rarely changed those two back together or back to back like that. So there were some references throughout the night. I think we're going to see a lot. Here's kind of, I don't know if this is going to happen because it is sort of far away, this Jericho stuff. I mean, it's five labors. Hoovy's next. Is there a chance Punk is one of them? And that is your all-out match, Jericho against Punk.
This is not a scoop. I get the sense that Punk isn't rushing to wrestle Chris. I'm going to be honest. This is my reading.
I agree. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't think this is either, but again, they got the history, right? They got the WrestleMania match.
I'll say this. I think it's more likely, genuinely, I think it's more likely that Jericho beats MJF and is the challenger at All Out than that. That's my honest take.
Fair.
I don't know, because I think Punk would see that as being part of someone else's thing, and that's not how his brain works, you know? Now, Punk is such a – he's like very video game, him in AEW, you know? Like, I find it really – and this is not on criticism, but I find it really hard to, like, piece him – like where he fits, like the Kenny match you get, that's a great poster, right? Like, wow, CM Punk, Kenny Omega. But other than that, it's like it feels like a brand new world because he hasn't wrestled in so damn long. It's a clean slate. So I'm open to all ideas, but I do think, and listen, I know no one wants to hear it, but I do think people should just be a little, that idea of Jericho and Kenny, I always think that's in TK's mind, if nothing else. You know, that's all I would say.
I agree with you that they could be Jericho and Omega. If Jericho gets through all this and he beats MJF, I think MJF is the match at All Out. It's Jericho and MJF.
He's going to retire him, right?
I saw you tweet this. This is like Jericho's almost like retirement.
Yeah. That's really my read on it, man. Like he said all along he's going to do the other TNT show, which is starting in 2 weeks, right? Remember he said that I'm going to be in the announced team?
Yeah.
He just wrestled a death match. He's wrestling Hoovy next week. That feels like him. And if it's Lance Storm, as one of the other ones, like, I don't know, man. And look, let's be real about Chris. We've spoken about this before. Chris has creeps, and rightly so, for reasons. He is one selfless dude in this setting. AEW couldn't have had a better, like, legend to lead the way in terms of how to do stuff. What he did last night, Jeremy, and we'll get into it in more depth. I mean, I started this show with the little Terry Funk homage with Connor, and it's like, that would have made Terry grimace, some of that shit he was pulling last night at 50. I mean, Terry would have done it. He would have done it at 60. But what I'm saying is that was like, that's the only comparison I can make with what he did. Like, he was so willing to play ball with Gage. I think he'd happily give his career to MJF, is my point. I mean, he'd happily do that.
I think you would too. And we've talked about Jericho before. Like sometimes he can be like the Orange Cassidy stuff, right? It wasn't always for us. We don't know quite like Orange Cassidy fully what he gained coming out of that, because it didn't seem like he got super elevated from that. But like Jericho is more than willing to just do the Orange Cassidy stuff and give him as much as necessary. He's been that way this whole time, even with like the Inner Circle. He's taken a step back more recently. It's like Sammy's kind of cutting the promos and everything now. Like he's more than willing to put other guys over and let other guys shine. This does feel like I'm just going to go out there and anything that like I haven't done yet, I'm just going to do. Like taking that bump at Blood and Guts, probably didn't need to do that at his age. You can make fun of cardboard box, whatever, but like he probably didn't need to do that. Doing this death match, probably doesn't need to do this stuff. He's doing Hurricane Ranas off the top rope again. Like he doesn't need to do this stuff, but he's like, you know what? I've had the classics. I've had, you know, the great promos, the great storylines and everything. I'm going to have one more great storyline. I'm going to do matches that people just didn't think that I would do. And there's going to, once I retire, like you're not going to be able to say anything. You're going to be like, this guy did it all. He gave everything he had. And there's nothing he didn't leave out there.
You know, we love ourselves from Nick Gage, right? Just the personality itself. I don't think either of us like big deathmatch guys.
God,
like,
this fucking shit.
Yeah, like we love the kind of idea, what he symbolizes. It's fun to us. I think those of us in the bubble, and some people in the chat maybe can attest to this, I think we take for granted what Chris did for him last night. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I think if you showed someone that's a casual wrestling fan, I know people hate that term, for example, that death match with my father, right? If that's, you know, Lance Archer in there with Gage, he's going to be like, this is some shit, you know? This is some weird shit. It's Chris Jericho, brother. Like, he ain't going to question it. That's a legend of the game. So to him, just by sharing the ring with him, Jericho legitimized Gage. Okay, that's one thing. You let him come out second, which is another thing that people are like, it's a little thing in wrestling, but you know, Jeremy, Jericho had the first entrance. Like, Gage, it was his match. He didn't do a Nick Gage match, but like, I mean, he got about as close as you can get on national TV at this point, right? I mean, I just, and look, I don't want to make this like a Jericho glorifying the guy, but like, I think we can take it for granted what he did. Like, Gage had never wrestled on national television at all, and he's in the main event against Chris Jericho, and Jericho gave him the whole match. He gave him the whole match. He didn't do anything to Gage. He just got the shit kicked out of him and then sort of stole the win at the end. It was a classic kind of Jericho moment in terms of what his outlook is on the industry. Open-minded enough to see things, you know? Like, there are guys on Twitter now that are just like, Gage ain't a real wrestler. Listen, man, Chris Jericho just went 15 minutes with him. Like, he ain't hearing shit about that anymore, you know? Like, to me, that's he's legitimized to any critics at that point. Like, that's a big stamp of approval. So it was a classic Jericho moment. I think next week probably is more dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what that would look like, especially with Chris's body healing from this, but like, I don't know. I know that it's, you know, he's a kind of a polarizing figure. And again, rightly so. I'm not here to suggest otherwise, but I'm going to kind of enjoy the ride on this one, Jeremy, because I think it may be the last one. And he's certainly been significant, hasn't he, Jeremy? He's certainly been an interesting character to cover. So yeah, no, I loved that last night. We should talk about it in more detail. Like, at what point in the Gage match did you go from being, this may be awful, to like, fuck, this rules? Because it was when, as soon as Gage started going under the ring, I was like, okay, we've settled him. When Jericho was trying to have like a Memphis brawl with him, it was, you know, close shave.
See, yeah, the early portion where, you know, Gage is using the pizza cutter and stuff, and then they do the fry Takayama spot. I was like, okay, you know, what do we get? I kind of always thought it was going to break down into this Nick Gage type match, though. Cause I don't think, and call me crazy, like, I don't think Tony Khan is bringing in Nick Gage, putting him in this main event spot, if it's just going to be, hey, just go out there and do like a safe hardcore match. Cause I think Tony has more self-awareness than that to know that, like, if it was just bring him in, do kind of your WWE hardcore match or just kind of the standard stuff we typically do, people were going to be like, what is this? Like, you've completely, there were already you know, complaining about, like, you've neutered Nick Gage because you won't let him say fuck on national television. Like, they were already complaining about that. Like, guys, they can't get away with saying this word on national television, especially as much as Nick Gage probably wants to say it. So they were already complaining about that. Like, if they had done something like, just again, your kind of bare bones hardcore match, they would have gotten backlash from that. I always thought it was going to be like a full on Nick Gage type match. Did I think Jericho was going to be that giving in it? No, that was the part that surprised me, is just how giving Chris Jericho was in it. But I definitely thought like they were gonna, I didn't see the light too. My God, did you hear that?
Yes.
Thunderstorm coming through. Okay.
Well, I do.
I didn't think they would go like full light tubes. I thought we were going to get doors. I don't even think we got doors. Maybe GCW is done with doors. Remember there was that big fascination.
How funny does that sound, bro? Like, think about the shit we're doing. I thought we were going to get doors. We didn't get, we just got light tubes, like glass pane. Like,
I thought we were going to get glass. I just thought we were going to get the pizza cutter, because Gage had that thing like in all his promos and stuff. The light tubes though, that was another one where it's like, man, like they really just, sure, they just let him do it. It was,
yeah,
it was good, man. I was excited. And people, like you said, we're not like deathmatch guys. I could not watch like a full show of this stuff.
Yeah,
like I couldn't do it. But like a Nick Gage match, this guy's just got like a connection that is just special with people. Look, and man, like, I feel it too.
I'm all for us being like just genuine what our taste is, you know. Like, I'm probably with you, bro. I ain't lining up to watch a full show of that style of wrestling, especially the sincere style, right? Because again, this was kind of a, like, tame by comparison, as hilarious as that sounds, it was. But like, I guess what I meant with the Gage stuff was, and I know this isn't a reference to you, probably know in the chat, but like, there's some people who's like, that's not wrestling. And it's like, hey man, I don't know where you draw the line on that stuff. Wrestling's real dumb. We love it, but like, what's real wrestling? You know, if the people enjoy it, they enjoy it. Dynamite at its best, and Eddie Kingston's debut is the one I always used to sigh about this, but now Gage has superseded him in this sense. At its best, Dynamite is this show which has the wrestling world's eyes on it, where anyone can show up and they can just be themselves, man. They can just be. They're not going to have everything bashed over each other's heads. It's just going to be like, here is Eddie Kingston, the guy on the indies that talks a lot of shit. Welcome. Last night with Gage, I mean, this was the ultimate example of that. Because it was simple. If you know who he is, you're invested. If you don't, he's a lunatic with a pizza car. What more? This is what I'm talking about. You don't need to be blown over the head with it. Like, he was a mercenary there to try and kill Chris Jericho. And I don't know, man. Like, look, we always do this thing where we do this qualifier. It's, you know, it's not a perfect show. And it isn't. No wrestling show is. We've talked about the women's division, and we'll continue to talk about it because it is an important criticism. However, we have to be real about what we're getting here, Jeremy. This is the TV show we're talking about here, right? This is like a weekly pay-per-view, man. This is, I mean, I can't compare this to any other run of wrestling I've seen. I'm going to be really honest with you, Joe. This is like, every week is like a thrill. There is a buzz, an energy, a sense that anything can happen. Tanahashi's in one segment, Meng's in the next. We close with Hoovy after a Nick Gage match. It opens with a Space Jam advertisement for a 10-man tag that goes 40 minutes. It's a wrestling buffet, but that doesn't do it justice. It's like a wrestling festival every week, just with all these weird characters from all these different eras and styles and genres. I know people are tired of hearing me praise Dynamite, but like, we have to be real about what this is, right? Like, this is historic run. Let's not pretend this is common that TVs are this exciting every damn week. This is crazy stuff, man.
It most certainly is. And the criticism of the women's division, certainly valid. And they don't help themselves in any regard with that by throwing out cold matches each week that seemingly don't mean a whole lot. But as far as the other stuff on the show, you're getting, there's nothing cookie cutter about this show, for better or worse, right? Some people will complain about that. For us, like, we clearly enjoy it, that you just don't, my God, it is storming out there. I'm sorry. Yeah, like, you just don't know what you're going to get. I did not think that, you know, we all thought Gage was going to lose because, of course, I didn't think the next labor was going to be Juventud fucking Guerrera being brought up in 2021, right?
Why would you think that? Like,
playing off a commentary that happened 20 months ago or something, when Jericho and MJF were still friends, like a segment that happened before the pandemic, right? Like that little segment happened before the pandemic. And they brought that back.
And it's just like pure fan. Like it does nothing for business, right? Like there will not be one extra TV viewer, you know, broadly speaking, for Hoobie.
There might be the lapsed fan. They're like, Juventud Guerrero, the juicy Jew. Let's go.
I didn't need to see Jericho, but they got Hoobie. I'm in this thing. Let's go. No, but that's, you know, someone said to me last night, I won't name them for political reasons, but they said, it's wild, like, what happens when a major league wrestling promotion is run by one of us lunatics. And it's like, listen, man, this dude's got David Crockett out there doing YouTube shows with Ed Kingston, Paul White, and Siobhan. Like, and again, is that like a big thing? When we make the documentary about AEW, when inevitably we reach our kind of humbling, you know, our wrestling is bad after all. When that happens, when we look back at it, will we mention, oh, they once brought David Crockett in for Dark Elevation? No. Is it a little gesture that pops someone like myself, though? Yes. Hoovy, same thing. My brother and I went wild for the Hoovy, by the way. It was like Chavo last week, Jeremy. Like, love to Chavo. Does anyone really? No one cares. He came out last week like he was The Rock. The people were going wild. It's Chavo. Like, that's interesting here, this gentleman here. You think Paul White will be, throw that on the screen, Jeremy, the latest comment. You think Paul White will be one of the people for Jericho to face? That's an interesting, like, I didn't think about that, but like, while they look for a way for Paul to come in ring, it feels weird because he'd be a heel, but like, still, that's an interesting way for him to come in, right? Because you could imagine if Jericho's doing a retirement tour, he'd want to wrestle Paul White. That would make perfect sense to me. It's a good call. I like that.
There seems to be, and I'm kind of confused too, it's the five labors of Jericho. So people are like, is MJF the fifth, or
Tony doesn't know.
Does he have the, well, it matters because if, you know, Hoovy's the third, so there's either one more or there's two more before you get to MJF. And people seem to be like, okay, well, Lance Storm might be the last one. But does that make Lance Storm the fourth, or does that make Lance Storm the fifth? It's just,
Tony doesn't know yet. He's watching old Nitros. He's contacting people. If they get another guy. By the way, a lot of people have mentioned since then that MJF's going to ask Chris to get a partner that's not in the inner circle, and that will be. Now, I like that even more. I like this fantasy book in the chat, and they get to a conclusion. I like that a lot. That's good.
Anthony Pryde says MJF is winning over Jericho because he's touring with Fozzy the next 4 months beginning. I think that's kind of, I think we all kind of figure MJF is going to win this feud anyway.
All I was suggesting with the Kenny stuff was perhaps an idea where, like, now again, I don't want this or think it will happen, but I was just thinking, like, maybe he beats MJF on a Dynamite. Then he's written off by Kenny. Like, we all agree that in the end, he's losing that All Out show to someone. We assume MJF, but I was just throwing that out there. I think you're right. It will be MJF.
Chris says, can Hoovy cut the Juice Says promo next week? Yes. Look, if Tony Khan, he'll put Nick Gage in a death match, like you said, he'd be even crazier to give Hoovy just a live mic next week. That would be...
I was devastated. Like, I wanted Hoovy to come out last night like Gage did, you know, with a pizza cutter too for no reason. What a time, dude. Like, imagine having, seriously, I know, guys, I know. Let's really take this moment in. Okay, here's the situation, Jeremy. You've got a wrestling promotion. You got CM Punk.
NWA.
Yes, you got CM Punk and Daniel Bryan coming, okay? Two of the biggest stars of the last 2 decades. This show features a 10-man tag you've been building to for 2 years. How would you feel about closing the show with the announcement of Juventud Guerrero? Because that's what he did.
See, that was what was so weird to me is the girlfriend's over and she's like, oh, what's the main event? I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a 10-man tag. Like, because I wanted to watch the Gage match and care about this 10-man tag. Gives a shit. I want to watch Nick Gage, baby. But I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the 10-man's going to close. I figure, like, Gage will be, like, in the middle of the show. I actually tuned into Dynamite late. And so, like, the match is already going on. Yeah. The match is going on. And, like, I tuned in and there, like, the 10-man tag is just opening. It's like, well, I guess Nick Gage is main eventing this show. And not only did Nick Gage main event, like you said, like, the closing is just Juventud Guerrero next week is our big closer. Like, tune in to see Juventud Guerrero next week. Like, it is peak lunacy. Like, just all of it. It's absolutely insane.
And that's good. You know? Yeah. But that's, like,
do they close... Joseph, the week before, they closed with a Lance Archer Hikuleo stare down.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's like people are so – they're so desperate to frame Tony as one of those dumb fans in the stands. Like, hey, man, maybe this stuff was never as complicated as you guys pretended it was, and we're actually just enjoying a product that tries to make us happy. You know, maybe, Jeremy, maybe all those years of telling us that we don't know shit and, let you know, we've got this grand kind of, you know, masterclass and genius going on internally. And here comes this guy with his little notepads from 1996. Frankly, he's booking the most exciting television I've ever seen in my time as a fan. And I don't even think it's close. I genuinely don't. Like, you know, Jeremy, I'm younger than I look. I'm only 45. And I I just think, again, Tanahashi was like 10th on the news bulletins last night.
Yeah.
Like, it's Tanahashi, for goodness sake. It's wild.
It was insane because Excalibur throws it. He's like, here we go, New Japan star just coming in. I was like, oh, okay. You know, who's this? Just some random guy's like, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Like, what? Huh? New Japan, like, this is New Japan legend, like, one of the greatest of all time. It's just like, here he is, just video package on Dynamite. Like, it's nothing. It's like, what? What are we doing out here? I thought Tanahashi was going to wrestle on an upcoming Dynamite. Turns out he might wrestle on an upcoming pay-per-view, which, even better.
This is interesting, right? Like, you only have him on the show. Like, he's doing the Archer match for New Japan in LA, is it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you only have him on the show if you intend to use him when he's in the US. Like, he's on, he's going to work an AEW match, which is so awesome for us too. We love him so much, right? Like, he immediately becomes a top five AEW wrestler for us with one match. It is what it is.
If that Moxley Tanahashi match is legit, like Dave is saying, it's not a full report. He said that Moxley's likely to wrestle a New Japan star, and he mentioned Tanahashi and Suzuki, and obviously Moxley mentioned Tanahashi as well. They don't do this stuff typically unless they're setting it up somewhere. So Moxley mentioned going to Japan. Maybe the match happens in Japan. I don't know, but give me that match in Chicago. Give up. Fuck about this CM Punk match or this, you know, 2 year long Hangman Page story. Give me this thrown together Moxley Tanahashi match. That's all I care about.
It feels like, because Moxley said he sent the contracts, right? Like, anyone but Tanahashi, but he's dead to me. It feels like over the next month, we're going to get like two or three Moxley matches against New Japan guys. Maybe two, right? Like, and it could be the US guys. Tana's going to get that belt. At the LA show, and then suddenly it's, you know, full circle, and it's like, well, I'll fight you now. You got that belt that I had all that time, and you didn't want to have it. So, dude, Tanner and Mox, like, do you see how this is? Do you see, we're supposed to sit here right now and be like, but will it move the needle? Do you guys know who Tanahashi is? Who could possibly care?
Because I'm gonna ascend if I see that match live. You just won't hear from me. Be gone.
Have you ever seen Tanahashi live?
No, never seen Tanahashi live.
I saw Tanner. Listen to this match. This will pop you. York Hall, Tanner and Liger versus Gedo and Okada. Incredible match. Gedo took the whole match, brother. He was in there.
Dude, it's not only Tanahashi live. Like, it's Moxley. You know, Wild Moxley's thing, my guy right now. Yeah.
But with Wild Thing too. Like, have you seen what that entrance looks like live? Like, that's an event, Jeremy. This is saying, I was like, Tanner's going to be standing on the turnbuckle doing the guitar, and he's going to come out to Wild Thing.
Oh, air guitar Tana during Wild Thing. Oh, Joseph.
It's fun, bro. It's fun. Like,
clean myself off in the middle of this.
You might. Someone's done that at those All Out events before. you want to be careful.
Feel bad for the girlfriend and Hannah. They're going to be sitting next to me like, what just happened? Oh, man. Kylo says, we'll never tire hearing Joe excited about AEW. Kylo does our theme. We'll always put him over. George has to beat Sammy fifth, beat the tar out of him. I don't think they're going to do Jericho and Sammy. It seems, I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I don't see it.
That is interesting story-wise. The only thing I don't like about it is, like, you'd have to.
Why wouldn't Sammy just be like, just beat me? Like, get this match with MJF?
Well, that would have to be the, like, because MJF always has these like qualifiers, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be some incentive for Sammy to not just lay down.
Here's a question. Do you think Gage eventually comes back to try and kill MJF? Because I think this is something they may do at some point.
Oh, man.
Because MJF, like, as much as MJF plays like, you know, old school Cornette favorite, he would definitely be into as a heel, like having like a... Folks, this is not a direct comparison, hear me out. But you know when Randy worked Foley and he like bled everywhere, and it was almost like one of those moments of, shit, man, this is a tough dude. I could see I could see that vibe. Again, he's not Mick Foley. Guys, I know. I could see that vibe with Gage, where Gage puts MJF through all that shit because he didn't get paid, which is what MJF kind of had fun with on Twitter, right? He's a mercenary who failed. MJF's like, he'll never come back. That could be Saints play.
We'll see. So that do we think Gage comes back? I hope so. I mean, Gage isn't a guy that I think like is a weekly television guy. I think you're doing Nick Gage matches every single week on television. But like as a special attraction kind of guy, especially in a storyline like this, like it makes sense.
I think you make sure that when you use him, you pay him in a fashion, you treat him in a fashion of like, listen, man, we would love to have you full time. You don't make a lot of sense as a guy that wrestles on YouTube at like 3.5 hours into the tapings, but we'll use you as that what you just said, like as a weird kind of, you know, like an outlier, right? Like he's a guy who does different matches. He's this kind of loose cannon, an outcast, a literal outlaw in the promotion. So, I mean, you do it. Like, here's the thing. We know there's like, they intend to treat these promotions with a certain level of like respect. Like, you know what was interesting, Jeremy? Next week, they're doing an NWA eliminator for the women's title. It's like, with Thunder Rosa now signed, they could easily just be like, we're cool.
Yeah.
Like, you guys. And maybe that's part of the deal is NWA said, you got to do this for us on TV. But like, I think Tony sees this as, we're going to be the center of the wrestling world. And we're going to do what we believe was the right way to do this all along, which is basically shine a light on this different wrestling world. So like, there's probably a million people in the US that on television watched Nick Gage last night. Think about that. Scary. Awesome. Think about it. If 10,000 of them never knew of him and he's like, or that shit, that does business, man. That's good for everyone, right? So I think little things like that, it's the same in Gage's case and it's the same with NWA. Like, you can play ball and be nice with these promotions because let's be real, they're not competition to them.
No.
Of course they're not. And they never were at WWE, but they have their own, you know, ideology and that stuff. So I think Gage will never be full-time, but I think he'll be like a recurring character. You know, like when someone needs something done, here comes Nick with a cutter. And he's a great character, man. I'm sorry. In all seriousness, I know I've done this before and we've circled it, but like we should all be happy for him in the sense that what he did last night in that genre and in his world where he is the king of that shit, like – he ain't just king anymore. Like, he's the god of that, man. Like, and he really was the god. He says that himself. But what I mean is, to get that match, that style, that genre on national TV against Jericho, bro, but that's like the crown jewel for him, surely, right? Like, you know, he must be feeling real proud of that. So I'm happy for him.
Like, how many? I mean, there's plenty of deathmatch wrestlers out there. You know, nobody else is getting that spot.
There's only one Nick Gage.
Yeah, it really is. Only one Nick Gage. Bless that guy. Nick Gage fucking rules. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're mad because of his past.
Oh, come on. In wrestling? Yeah. You know, like, he's harmless. This world, this industry is full of filth and scum. Like, he's not. He's beloved in the industry. Chill on Nick Gage, man. Let him have his moment, you know? Like, it's, I ain't hearing that with the shit that goes on in wrestling, Jeremy. You know, like, I'm just not.
Look, he ain't the first wrestler that has been to jail. And then, you know, transformed his life around, and he ain't the first wrestler with some type of addiction that has kicked it and transformed his life around.
He's just visually rough around the edges, so people want to frame him a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, it making no lesser than this, but yeah, we already, I mean, actually, our like audience knows that shit, right? Like,
I hope so, but there were people on Twitter that were like, oh, I can't get into the Nick Gage stuff because of his past. And it's like, okay.
You probably should stop watching wrestling because like there's just some just vile people at every turn. So you know.
James Edward Smith says, how about Angelico Chris Brooks tag team?
Just very tall, skinny guys. Oh hell, I'm on for it. Toby Suicide is great. Harmless is probably the wrong term for Nick, but like the human being is about as harmless as pro wrestlers get, right? He's at this point in his life, you know, you got a lot more concerns than Nick Gage, trust me.
Greg Carter, not Greg Carr, says All Out is going to be.
There's no need for that. You outed me. As I messed up the brother's name. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I always thought it was Greg Carr, too.
I'm sorry, man.
I was just trying to pop, Joseph. All Out was going to be like 7 hours long. You know what? Usually I hate it because I got to sit through the media calls and I'm up to like 3 a.m. doing this shit. I'm going to be there. I ain't got to work. Bring it. Give me this 8-hour pay-per-view since I'm going to be there.
Brother, you say that now, but you're going to When it comes to,
they're gonna give me Moxley, Tanahashi. I don't care.
When it comes to hour eight and Kenny's hitting the V triggers, you're gonna be like, oh, fuck. What did I ask for? It's gonna be
when he's hitting the V trigger, that's my move. I'm gonna pop you for it.
On the last pay per view, I swear, I watched it the morning after and I got online and everyone was like, a little bit too long. You gotta treat them, and I know it's hard for you, so I'm gonna talk to the audience because you have to do news. When you watch these AEW pay-per-view, you need to treat them like they're like you need to really just ease yourself into. Like, get yourself some snacks, have some pals if you can, or just have imaginary friends. Evil works fine. It's wrestling, right? I get it. Look, not the easiest sell, right? Come around and watch the wrestling. It's a 5-hour pay-per-view. Whatever you need to do to enjoy yourself, okay? Within reason. just take your time. But ideally, especially for my Brit pals out there, do not feel like you have to watch live. Turn your phone off, watch the next day. You don't have to start until 6 in the morning, guys. I promise. Jeremy, on the other hand, he has to.
Coward if you don't.
I'm never doing it again, bro. I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. Watch the last one. And I got like, I just paused it at some points. It's a damn like wrestling grin. That's what it is, bro. It's 5 hours of great pro wrestlers doing great pro wrestling things. Enjoy it. It shouldn't be a kind of, shouldn't be a bore. But I get it for your case, you have to do news stories. So it's different, you know?
It's like the actual pay-per-view, I mean, are they long? Yes, but then it's like, oh, God, now I got to do a media call or I got to do a post-show.
Right.
It just makes for, like, long nights. Since I don't have to work that weekend and I'm just going there to enjoy the show, and, you know, if I have to do some work, I will. But, like, on show day, I don't have to. I'm going to enjoy it. And Moxley and Tanahashi, Joseph. That's all I care about. Go Ace!
It is interesting, though, as much as we used to talk about the pay-per-view builds, like... The pay-per-view is, we said, like 6 weeks, right? 5 weeks? Around there?
Five weeks.
And it's like, we have to kind of accept, I think we have at this point, the TV is their bread and butter, man.
Yeah.
Like, the pay-per-views are like showcases their biggest ideas, but they're swinging for the fences with this TV because they think they can, they really think they can kind of... they can change the game TV-wise. You can tell, right? Like, the last couple of weeks of ratings, I think they're encouraged, and they think if they keep their foot on the gas with what's coming up, I don't want to say it, folks. I'm not going to talk about Raw or SmackDown, but, like, they think they can be a player in that game. And that's, in 2021, that's just more important than selling 160,000 buyers rather than 130. It is, isn't it? Like, that's where we're at right now. So that's one thing to kind of keep in mind.
I mean, the money's in the television, right? Like, we've seen that from WWE. I think AEW kind of eventually... transitions off that pay-per-view stuff and they end up kind of with a streaming deal as well, but that television ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, they're gonna sell that package at some point, I think. Like,
yeah,
the pay-per-view archive, I think they'll sell. I know people like them on YouTube, but I do think you have a dark elevation and a dark to sell them. I mean, that's their idea, is like you've got a package then, right? Two fresh weekly shows, the pay-per-view archive and the live pay-per-views. I think that's their plan. What service that goes to without upsetting Turner, because I just don't know if HBO Max is the fit for that. It seems like a mismatch. So that would be the thing to watch. I think, look, everyone knows streaming, like, you want to get your foot in that door. You know, you don't want to be left waiting. So that's one thing to watch, I think, with AEW's, like, big picture stuff, definitely.
I mean, HBO Max still makes the most sense, though, because that is Warner, right? Turner property. And, yeah, maybe it doesn't seem like the fit now, but we're talking kind of at least 2 years down the line.
Right. Like, the archive, it makes sense, right? Like, we can all agree, if you could just throw some AEW, and let's be fair, if it's on there, you could do the Dynamite archive. Like, you could easily do that. The pay-per-view live streaming part is the bit that I kind of like, I don't know if that's a HBO Max kind of thing, you know, like streaming live sports, basically. Right. Yeah. So,
but again, but then, 2 years from now, like, who knows what HBO Max is going to look like. They could be streaming live NBA games 2 years from now. Right. And would that, like, really be that surprising?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's the big thing, is like, all of these sports, they're the last holdover with TV and streaming, right? Infuriating this thing about media. Like, they are, like, the TV, you know, the direct cable channels are going to keep overpaying for sports because that's their last, like, grip.
Yeah.
The big thing in that whole landscape is which of them are going to take the big swing and go to streaming. Wrestling, it'll be really interesting. I was talking to Will from RBR, as you mentioned. He said to me on Monday, or Tuesday, he goes, someone actually said to him, I don't used to watch wrestling all the time. I now just, like, watch what they have on Peacock. And he said, like, he thinks there's an audience of people that subscribe to that streaming service that just can be like, oh, Cena and Reigns? that is actually probably the best way to grow an audience now, is to be on one of these streaming conglomerates rather than, as wild as it sounds, that TV is like, is what it is now, right? We see the numbers. It ain't, you know, so that's a big thing for all these promotions, is try to make sure you're ahead of the game on that stuff. It'll be something to watch for sure.
George says, Sammy Five, story-wise, he has to beat someone he loves. Yeah, I get it. There's got to be incentive for Sammy to just not lay down. And that's they can easily do it. I'm not saying it wouldn't be, it's not feasible to do it. I don't know. JJ says, Joe, I have to watch live.
It's just not, I'm telling you, it's way better. Because by the end of the show, your eyes are going to be like this. Get yourself up at 7 a.m., fresh, get some breakfast, you know, pause the show at the halfway point. Like last time, I watched it with some pals the next day. And when King and Moxley lost, guess what I did, Jeremy? Pause the show, reset. It's all take it easy here. Let's not get out of hand. Come back to the thing. I had a great time. This is
Tony what Khan's time here, is? Tony
he's Khan's always here.
Yeah.
It is a serious question, Jeremy. How many episodes of our show has Tony Khan watched?
How many episodes have we done? We've done since last January. We've probably done, done a lot. He's a Twitch subscriber. I'm pretty sure he's a Patreon subscriber as well. Yes. Like, yeah. He's watched all of it.
Yeah, probably.
He clearly watches VP Dub with all these ideas that he's throwing out there every week. Somebody does. Luther's pitching him all the ideas. He's like, Tony, they do these cold opens. It's like centered around basketball. For some reason, people love it. You think we can do this with the elite guys, even though none of them can dribble outside of the one Jackson?
There you go. I'm glad you. Apparently, Kenneth was a coach, a basketball coach. What are they getting up to over there in Canada? Oh my God, he looked like he'd never seen a basketball. He was dribbling it up there, dude. How funny was it when the machine gun dunked and he pulled down the whole thing like Shaq? Incredible. Just all of that whole thing. Like, you know what was great about that was? It was entertaining. But like the idea in storyline, the EVPs made that deal for themselves is so funny. Like the idea of Kenny and the boats being like, man, we should make strike a deal with Space Jam. Like glorious.
You said it. You watched the Space Jam and it was ad after ad. And so like, yeah, the fact that it was like, that was the complaint about Space Jam, right? So of course, these dickheads come in there. It's like, yeah, we're gonna run that bit right here.
They are awesome as like just
they
complete. I honestly think people miss the trip and they're like, these guys are dorks. It's like, yep,
yeah.
How great is it? Like they're the big. And here's the thing: is the characters are they're not like dorks that are losers. They're dorks that are the best wrestlers of their generation. So they win all the time while making you infuriate because they have no sense of like they're not cool at all. They're not redeemable. They're just dicks. It's awesome.
They're the Warriors. They can say they're the Bulls. They're kind of the Warriors.
Is Machine Gun Steph?
No, Omega's definitely Steph.
I don't know. Is he really? Is he online enough to be KD? By the way,
the Young Bucks are KD.
Fair. Cheese Nelson in the chat here. How great was Machine Gun having 2012?
Machine Gun's Andre Iguodala.
Yes, and his G1 final is when he held LeBron to 35 points a game. Right?
Gallows is Draymond.
Oh, he was something else last night. There were a couple times there where you looked at Gallo and you said, I don't know how he manages this. He's in the biggest match. Like, he's out there and he's doing these like kind of wacky sells like he's working in Indy and in Georgia. He's the greatest. What tremendous outliers those two guys are. Everyone knows I love Machine Gun. Like they don't really fit, which is why they fit sides. Because they're part of the history. They just are.
Yeah.
But they're completely opposite of what the good what the elite is at this point. But fuck it, man. People like it. It's fun. Good times.
Kylo Voss says, last review I watched live was Elimination Chamber 2017. I fell asleep and dreamt Kane was in it. Was about to tell people the next day as if it was a fact. I have no idea what happened on that show.
Dude, Greg said, you know Greg Carr? You hear me? Greg Carr said, yeah, I'm missing. Greg Carter said, Gallows is JaVale McGee. Just grab us a bowl and get the fuck out of the way.
Andrew Thompson tweeted something about Gallows. It's like, you know, this dude's just getting run in the rec league. I was like, he's Andre Drummond of the AEW rec league. He's just bigger than all these guys. So it's like, he must be all right, right? And then like he actually plays. It's like, he'll grab a board, but can't really like do anything. Just gets torched defensively. Like that's Gallows.
Every switch they go after him. By the way, we saw about a lot of stuff about Tim Man. Dude, you know, like it's easy to look at him as a meme because of all the comedy, but like, how good is John Silver, dude? Yeah. Like, just how sharp is his offense? Like, I think all of the Dark Order guys are better than they're given credit for because they're seen as like an act. But John Silver is like, his work is prime time, man. Like, he hadn't wrestled in months either.
As I say, that was his first match back, I believe.
This roster, we do this every week, but like, this roster is something, man. And if they can keep rotating the way they are,
they're gonna add Daniel Bryan to this roster in 2 weeks, 2 months.
I can't believe that's like a real. This be real about this. I've asked people this on Patreon. I'm gonna do it on the main show. Like, in your heart, how insane is that to you? Because I never once believed he was good. Like, I thought he might become like an indie guy for a little bit and then go back. Like, him being an actual AEW guy is bonkers to me.
He is going to be an indie guy.
But, like, what I'm saying is, did you ever think he would actually sign an AEW deal? Because I didn't, frankly.
No, I did. I was kind of with you. I thought he might wrestle, like, a handful of matches kind of elsewhere, do sort of the stuff he wanted to do, and eventually just sort of end up back in WWE. Now, instead, he's just like, well, I can still do these matches and still be on national television and do other types of dream matches. I did kind of have an inkling, not an inkling, but like a feeling, like we referenced it last week, that interview where he's like, I just felt like checked out on this stuff. Like that was very telling of where he kind of stood in terms of WWE. And maybe you read that and you're like, oh, it just needs to be refreshed and everything. Let him take a few months off. He'll come back to WWE. He'll feel great. I just think he was completely checked out on that stuff. He actually wants to do something new, and that's what he's going to do.
And this is the thing is, we all laugh at the Forbidden Door because it became such a cliche. But you said it earlier about what Dave, you know, his story was that Moxley was just like, why don't I wrestle a New Japan guy at All Out? Do you know how, like, limitless that makes their possibilities that a top guy can just be like, I haven't really got a program, huh, Tony? Why don't I wrestle Hiroshi Tanahashi? And he's like, cool, let's get on the phone. Like, you have a roster that deep, but then when you have this, like, expanded universe of different guys you can pull from and you can help each other, I'm not saying it will last forever, but while it lasts, brother, that's serious. Like, we've seen how valuable it was to a Ring of Honor, but, like, Ring of Honor never had, like, you know, they had players and they're all guys that have gone on to do good stuff and was doing good stuff then, but, like, this AEW roster's different, right? They got, like, icons of the industry on the board. It's just, it's a crazy time. It's very idyllic. I must say, sometimes it just it catches me off guard, like how well it seems to be going. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, is that the phrase? The other
speaking of the other shoe to drop, Joseph. Every final bang! Robert O'Neill's here.
Hi guys.
Evening, Bob.
What's up?
Well, I mean, we've been doing this podcast. I don't know if you've seen any of it. We're having a good time. How are you, Bob? You've had a haircut.
I did. It was about time. It's 110 degrees here today, so, you know, wasn't going to deal with that shit.
Hey, Bob. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. So here's the deal. Jeremy can start the clock whenever. I don't have anything today, which isn't ideal. You know, was kind of hoping that Jack Crosby was available to talk about some MLB trade deadline stuff, but he is busy with his actual job this week. So that's a bummer.
Oh, I got to start the clock. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you start it whenever. Who cares, man?
O'Neill messages me and he's like, am I on the show tomorrow? I was like, yeah, I think so. As far as I know, he's like, you should probably plan something. Like, yeah, I feel like we have this conversation every single week.
Well, and then earlier this morning, I'm like, oh, Joseph, you know, what should I do? And he's like, a Raw review. And I'm like, I don't remember anything that happened on Raw this week. It's not great.
That's not ideal, I would agree. Sorry, Bob. Frankly, I'm looking at the chat and, like, Bruce has lost his mind and created, like, three alts. So I'm not distracted. I'm just, like, caught off guard. So what have you decided to talk about? I apologize. Is it Raw? What's going on?
I mean, I can talk about Raw. Again, I don't remember just, too
here's
much.
Here's what you should do. Here's what you should do, okay? You're Bootlicker Bob, face of the territory. It's been a tough week, right? The fleet is running wild, all that good stuff. I would like you to give me like a statement on behalf of the World Wrestling Federation. The best you can. You could be honest with the issues, but remember, this is one thing you need to remember, okay? Complaining isn't conversation.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because yeah, that's important. You know, you got to make sure to let things play out, even if you don't seem to understand what they're doing at the moment. You know, the draft's coming up, so that'll change things. You got to really focus on that. I don't know, man. It's weird. You know, it seems like Becky Lynch isn't going to Raw, which kind of felt like a slam dunk, because the Raw side of SummerSlam doesn't look great. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm excited for this Nikki Ash triple threat match.
I mean, I am personally excited because, you know, I'm going to be there, you know, my first big event since coming back. So that's going to be good. But no, I mean, the Nikki Ash stuff is a little weird. It's weird that she doesn't merch yet. I know that's been discussed a little bit. I don't know, man. It's Bob, a mess right now.
Bob, just talk about this a little bit. Jeremy, you're cool. Bob, what do you think here the situation is? Like, it feels like this was not the plan with Becky, right? Like, it feels like Becky was just looking at the picture, like, this is a mega show. This is their WrestleMania effectively this year. It feels like their intention was not to run this Nikki Ash triple threat. And they might not. They might get out of it.
Yeah. No, it felt like she was going to Raw, right? But
yeah. You know, in fear of doing scoop stuff, like, that was like the word, and that's what everyone was talking about. So, like, what is what's your read on that now moving forward? Like, we talked about a little bit in the chat about how, in the DM story, about how it could be like maybe they're doing Becky and Banks and Belair and Naomi. Like, what do you think they're doing with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you look at Becky, if she is going to SmackDown, like, the three people she would face is, you know, Bayley, who's obviously not an option now, Bianca, who I don't think you're going to run that match with 3 weeks of build. So, I mean, Becky and Sasha's a match you can just kind of heat up real quick, and, you know, they're both kind of big attractions. It doesn't need that much build. So if I had to guess, that would probably be the route they take right now. But yeah, I don't, it's strange, man. Like, I think tomorrow on SmackDown is going to be telling, because if you don't see Sasha and you don't see Becky, then maybe you won't see him at SummerSlam, because you're kind of running out of time to start that build.
Indeed. It's, do you put any stock into the notion that, like, this whole, I don't know who it was, and if it's someone I shouldn't have mentioned, I apologize, but do you put any stock into this notion that, like, Fox is kind of, they're kind of maneuvering things. So, like, it was weird with the Roman thing, right? That you have to say, Bob, that was strange. When Roman got moved to Spain, it was like,
yeah.
Like, what do you think? Do you think there's something to that?
That was strange, but they have basically the same TV deal with, you know, NBC Universal. They've been partners for a lot longer, so I don't know. Like, unless they're trying to just impress Fox still and they think they have more leeway with NBC, I don't think they would necessarily, you know, give one preferential treatment over the other.
Okay, I'm going to ask you my actual question here as things finally calm down in the chat. Are you, do you care?
About what?
About any of this SummerSlam stuff? Because I messaged you, Bob. You had some fun last night, huh? You had some fun, Bob.
I did. It was good. It was a good show. No, I'm excited to be going. I'm excited to see a lot of people that I'm seeing. You know, I think Roman and Cena is going to be a good match. I think Rollins and Edge is going to be a good match. Like I said, though, it's just hard to get too excited for too much on the Raw side.
I think we had this conversation a while back, and it's like, I stick by it. I think it's strengthened since then. I mean, the WWE product is very hard to talk about with any kind of, like, analysis in terms of where they're going, right? Because it doesn't feel like they don't feel like they know, firstly. It also doesn't feel like it matters much. That makes sense, Bob? Like, I think we both agree this SummerSlam show is going to be very good. But we're only both confident of that, and it's a hell of a poster, right? Like, you put all the faces on that thing, man, you can't miss. Like, they're big matches, they're video game matches, but it's very hard to kind of sink your teeth into, like, what does this mean for that, or what is this, you know, what does this kind of signal for where they're going at Mania? The one thing I want to ask you about, it's a bigger picture kind of thing. I'm kind of befuddled by everyone's desperation to do Becky and Bianca Belair, and I mean that both for SummerSlam, Mania, whatever. I just don't get this matchup, Bob. I get it's a big one. But it feels like with the brand split, you should kind of keep them apart like they did with Batista and Cena for all that.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we talked about too yesterday, where, you know, I don't think you're going to turn either of them. So, like, you can run the match, but it's kind of strange. Like, it's obviously a big match. You can run it at some point, but I don't think there needs to be a rush to do it, like, even at WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, because it feels like a really good way. Like, here's the thing with Bianca Belair. I mean, we all think she's money, and she's already, I think, a top, like, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to say because I don't watch it close enough. But, like, say a top 10 star, right? She's mm-hmm. she's super over. But, like, she isn't an established, like, mega star in the way that Becky is, because Becky had that, like, that ascension, right? That was just different. She had it in front of fans. Bianca's ascension was in the Thunderdome. So yeah. It's different. To me, it's a really good way of dividing your audience and making people resent Belair, because I think she'd win that match. And I don't think you want to have the four horsemen kind of like mega fans. And I don't mean that as like a diss. I mean, like, people just love those characters. And I want you think you want them to think, oh, Blair's replacing them the same way that once upon a time Cena did with the Angles, the Jerichos. Does yes. that make sense? Like,
yep.
That's a real thing, I think. I don't know. Am I off on this?
No, I think that's exactly right. And I think that's a great point. And, you know, we're just going to have to see where it happens, I guess.
There you go. That's Bob O'Neill, folks. I apologize, Bob. I was, yeah.
No, it's fine. I get it.
We're going to be live on the Patreon after this. Again, you can sign up for $1. Bob will be in and out. He has to work, apparently. What a coward. But that's where we'll be after this, folks. We'll talk about all this good stuff and more. Bob, thanks for coming on, pal.
Yeah, thanks, guys. History pilot, bang!
Wow.
Fuck. Sorry about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know. Crazy what happens when you don't talk about Raw for a week, huh? It's just, it'll get. Anything else to hit, Jeremy?
I don't know. I'm disappointed by that whole ordeal.
Yeah, look, I don't know, man. Everyone in the chat knows the deal. So
yeah.
You know, we kind of assumed that we wouldn't have to, like, police it to that degree, but, like, people are just lunatics.
Usually there's a mod here. Usually Joel is around, and so or Hannah will be around. I'm going to make sure that most likely JJ, I'll make sure that JJ gets a mod privileges. He's here every week. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure that happens in incidents like that, because I'm trying to mod stuff and run the show.
Yes, outrageous. Yeah. It's cool. I want to do something quickly, okay. And I'm not gonna make a big deal with this, and we're gonna hop out of this. You got some stuff to do with the call, and I've got to do a show with Bob O'Neill, which fuck, that's more, even more dangerous. But I want to say, and I think I speak on your behalf on this, Jeremy. Love to our pal JJ over at the Observer, yes. Right? Who was singled out in just some absolute bullshit. And, it, you know, a year ago, I probably would have sat here and given a much more venomous response to that. I think we know at this point, you know, they've told us enough times who they are. I'm not going to overreact to it or anything like that, but I just wanted to say, you know, God bless him. He's a good pal of ours. What is he at on the Twitter, Jeremy? Do you know? Is it just JJ Williams, WOM?
I'll tell you, by the way, you've been scooped by Tony Khan, who just came out and said, we'll see you at Dynamite.
What?
Oh. Tony Khan on Twitter.
Here's the thing, guys. I'll be really honest. You know, you'll know this. You watch the show, and we appreciate sport. Recently, it's been wild. But you guys see, like, we talk about WWE less and less, and I just... Sometimes this stuff, to be quite frank, guys, is like, my response is just, you know what, man? Yeah, thanks, Drew. At JJ Williams, WOM.
Yeah.
Wrestling Observer Newsletter, obviously. So I just think, you know, man, like, you resent the coverage anyway. Fuck it. And that's why I don't talk about it much. I'm thankful, and I want to make a point of this to our audience. Like, I appreciate that as we've talked more and more just about stuff we want to talk about rather than, like, forcing us to, our viewership has increased. And I really appreciate that, because I know that a lot of people would need to hit certain topics for people to watch this shit. So my plan, I've said this before, you know, next few weeks, man, I want to widen out, you know, broaden horizons a little bit and talk about different stuff. I want to get to see what Impact's doing with Jay White. I saw some of that. Everything's opening back up for now. They're getting their crowds back for now. So we got a lot of wrestling to talk about, and the wrestling world is vibrant and exciting. And I ain't trying to force myself to cover stuff they don't want me to even cover. And frankly, their audience doesn't want me to cover it either, because I'm just going to whine and complaining, Jeremy, isn't conversation, as you know. So Yeah, I just want to say it, but love to JJ is the point. Like, obviously, ain't about me, ain't about you, Jeremy. It's like, if you know the deal, you know the deal. You should, your reaction to that should be very singular. But yeah, support JJ, the pal.
Yes, that was absolute nonsense what happened to him, who's been covering NXT since, like, literally day one. And so for that to happen, it's bullshit. Honestly, it is. And what are they doing over there, Joseph?
Like, it's the same stuff they've always done, man. It's just, it's more stark now because there's a different choice, you know? That's the truth, Jeremy. That's the truth. And there's a lot of people that put up a lot of shit for a lot of years and are now slowly, steadily, you know, increasingly realizing you don't have to be this way. You know, like, it's, I'm not going to do the thing of, like, you know, the momentum, the shift and all that stuff. I've said it before and it's all silly. Nothing will change in the business. Everything's fine. Then they're going to keep making money regardless, right? But, like, I do think, and this is easy for me to say, this isn't reflect, this isn't talking to you, Jeremy, this isn't talking to Sean, definitely not Sean. He's, the, you know, doing the best news in the game. But me personally, a guy that comes in here and does a podcast, I'll be frank, like, I'm cool with just, like, not talking about it, you know?
But we, the beauty of this show, and I've always said it, is, like, we can kind of do what we want. On the show, we can talk about what we've banned NXT before. for much less reason than this. We banned them because they didn't have an In Your House set, but then they had the In Your House set, and we were just like, "Oh, this show's not very good," so we just banned them. Like, we can talk about what we want on this show. Obviously, if you go to Fightful, we got to cover certain things. We have to cover NXT, but on this show, I don't have to, and I'm fine with that. It's kind of unfortunate because Samoa Joe is back and we both like the Sammy Joe, but you know, they don't deserve it after something like this, right? They just don't.
Listen, man, if the whole promotion has told us all for years they ain't pro wrestling, so like, cool, bro, I cover pro wrestling, enjoy yourselves. You ain't gonna struggle without my coverage anyway, so like, I don't need to try and crowbar the audience into me being like, well, I hate all of it, but like, we all know the deal, it's fine. Like, if people that like it can watch it, I'm not gonna tell them it's bad. I mean, everyone knows my opinions by now anyway. As you said, that's the beauty of this show. So, yeah, moving forward, guys, I do want to kind of, you know, branch out a little bit. I'm open to that as an idea. Like, big story is what we cover always. So, like, we're not going to just, like, pretend stuff isn't happening. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, if you hate the way this show has trended in terms of, like, the AEW talk, I'm going to be real with you guys. Like, it probably ain't turning back. It just ain't, because we want to have stuff we have fun with, man. This is the you know what I was going to say to Jeremy? This Hangman conversation, this is the shit I signed up for, man.
Yeah.
The idea that a result means that much and we can sink our teeth into what's the good, what's the bad, what it will mean for next week and the week. That's what I'm here for. Not this idea that it's just a meaningless money machine. I'm cool with that. That can happen without us analyzing it because it don't mean anything anyway. Some of this stuff, though, it matters. It matters to the people watching. It matters to you and I, so... Let's stick with that for now. But yeah, thanks for joining us, folks. Regardless, it is cool that even when we dip our focus on the other one, the viewership keeps going up. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be Joseph will be on Patreon with O'Neill. No Twitch stream, no post show. Again, I have to cover financial stuff. I will be on. Yes. I'm going to jump on the Patreon for the first 15, 20 minutes or so. But no Twitch stream. We'll be back on Twitch tomorrow night. twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're going to do a late show, myself, Hannah, Joel Pearl, and a fourth person that we always just pull from the chat. We're going to talk about bad jobs, stuff like that. So again, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming if you want to go over there. If you want to go to the Patreon, patreon.com/TheDistraction. Joseph will be there with O'Neill. Dollar gets you that stream plus like weekly streams that we do, plus written content, NWA power reviews that I don't think anybody reads, but some people pop for behind the scenes stuff. You can get all the behind the scenes of the V triggers. Again, $1 a month. Do it. Sign up. Do it now. Pay more, but at least $1. FightfulSelect.com. Go over there. FightfulSelect.com. Thank you guys. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.